What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Lauren Lapid, a 22-year-old from the suburbs of California, a recent college graduate, and now a fresh New Yorker trying to adult in this crazy post-college life. You're listening to Rookies in the Real World, and in today's episode, which, might I add, is particularly juicy, we are joined by the sensational Devin De Moretti to break down our past relationships and hookups gone wrong.
It's Rookies in the Real World, whoa, with Lauren Lapid as your host. It's time for real talk on becoming an adult.
Welcome back to Rookies in the Real World, everybody, and to any new listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. You're in for a treat today. The last three episodes, we've covered each of our three main segments. For New York City, we talked all about how to find an apartment and what the process is like. For career growth, Raquel Phillips and I talked about starting your own business in your 20s, and then just last week, Vanessa Gordon and I got very real about what it takes to successfully balance growing your career and maintaining a healthy relationship at the same time. We've had three great weeks of wholesome and helpful advice, meaning it's time for another Wine Wednesday. Cracking open my drink right now as we speak. So everyone, grab your favorite alcoholic beverage of choice or not, drink what you want to drink, live your life. And get ready to hear Devin De Moretti and me get honest and so real about our past relationships and hookups gone wrong and what we've learned from those experiences. Okay, everyone, today we are hashtag blessed to be joined by one of my favorite podcasters, Devin De Moretti. Devin is the co-host of the Not Your Normal Women podcast, and that's women with an X. It is one of my absolute favorite podcasts. Everybody go listen after this. I always feel so hyped and so empowered after listening to their show. Devin is a coach in many different areas, from fitness to body confidence, to mindset, and then to sex. And she relates everything back to self-fucking-love. She is so confident, so fierce, and we are so lucky to have her with us on today's episode. So everybody meet Devin.
Yay! Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Lauren, for that introduction. I am so excited and blessed to be here. And like you and I were talking about, right now during quarantine, sometimes creativity can be a rut, and I'm really excited to record this episode with you today because it's just encouraging me to use creativity in a different way. And I'm just so glad that we were able to connect throughout
me
all of this.
Too. I have like the biggest smile on my face right now. excited. Okay, I thought it'd be fun to start with a little icebreaker. So given today's like theme of the episode is like relationships and hookups, what is the worst pickup line you have ever received?
The worst pickup line I've ever received was when I was out with a few of my girlfriends. I left them from the table to go order a drink at the bar. And I sat up on the chair and leaned over the bar to get the bartender's attention. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, "Do you have to lean over the bar like that? It's very distracting."
And I
look at him and I go, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "No, I meant that in a good way. Like, it's just very distracting." And then starts making comments on my body. And I'm like, oh no, it did not.
Everything about that.
I addressed it. I'm like, "Do not objectify me. This is not how you hit on a woman at the bar."
No.
And he actually left the bar immediately after because I was pretty aggressive in my response back.
He learned his lesson. Good for you, girl.
You did. How about you? I'm so curious.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm Filipino. And so a lot of times, like, people will assume, you know, like, I'm either, like, of the Hispanic descent or Asian descent. Like, it can go either way. And I have had people, like, approach me at the bar, like, speaking what I assume are, like, suggestive comments in Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish. Like, I don't understand it at all. But just from, like, the tone, I can, like, pick up what they're putting down. And it irks me because they're making two assumptions. Like, A, like, they're assuming, like, I know what they're saying. And then I feel bad when I don't. But then, of course, like, they're getting suggestive with it. And it's just, it always irks me. Or, there was this one time in college. So I went to school in Virginia. So like not the most like diverse culturally area compared to, we're both in Southern California right now. And a guy was just like, and to be fair, he not, okay, this is an excuse, but he was from Europe and he was like, oh, like you're so exotic. And whenever anybody uses the E word, oh my gosh, it like grates on my soul. Like it's not a compliment.
I totally feel you. And that would irk me too. Like I don't appreciate when people make assumptions.
I 100% agree.
And I think the best, I personally think the best way to pick up somebody at a bar or wherever it may be is to simply say, hi, my name is, what's your name?
Right? Sometimes just start a conversation. Boys, start doing that. Whenever bars open back up, just introduce yourself. Say your name.
I will be far more inclined to talk to you.
I am on the same page.
And it's not pressure. When I was thinking about like worst pickup lines, another thing that I don't like is when they come up and they say, can I buy you a drink?
There's so much pressure that comes with that too. Yes. And I feel like pressure to stay and talk. Like,
yes.
And see, boys, you don't have to spend money on us. You don't have to spend money. Like,
it reeks insecurity. And I don't owe you anything just because you buy me a drink.
That is so true.
That was your offering.
Oh, that is true. All right, men, introduce yourself. There you go. We were telling you the secret sauce. You don't have to do anything crazy. Just introduce yourself.
Say your name. Ask what my name is.
Right? Oh, my. And remember, remember our name at the end of the conversation. Remember our name. There you go. Okay, before we dive in to today's content, I would love for you to give a little intro to yours and Julia's podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Julia is my best friend. And about a year ago, her and I had really been creating another outlet to just be creative. And because her and I have very similar histories with eating disorders and body dysmorphia and do very similar work, we decided that it would be great for us to collaborate together. So Not Your Normal Woman was born. And the podcast covers a myriad of topics from body image, eating disorders, self-love, sex, dating, mental health, and all of it essentially relates back to our mission of empowering women.
I love it. No, guys, seriously, like you need to go listen after this. After my breakup, which I've told Devin about, I literally like binged like 5 episodes and was like, I can do this. Like, I don't need a man. I need to like be single and be happy being single. So seriously, guys, give it a listen. It is so great.
Thank you.
Of course. Okay. So let me give you guys a little rundown of today's episode because we're shaking it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I just went through a breakup, and you know, after breakups, you kind of want to create your new normal, like start something fresh, something new. So I was cleaning out my Spotify of some old songs I just like didn't want to listen to anymore and came across an even older song that I honestly had completely forgotten about. Long story short for now, but basically my senior year of college, I had been hooking up with a guy who happened to be a musician, and it didn't end well. And then he wrote a song about it. So yikes. I stumbled upon it. It made me reflect so much on that experience. And like, I have so much hindsight now to see like kind of where I made some mistakes too. And so I told myself, you know what, let's talk about it with the Rookie Gang on the podcast. So here we are.
Oh, I have a question. Yes. So he wrote this song about you. How did you feel when you found out he wrote a song about you?
Okay, here's the thing. So during the span of like the month and a half that like we had been involved, he had been working on this song, like on the guitar, like no lyrics. And I loved it. Like it's such a pretty guitar riff, like very in my vibe, and there were no words yet. And so I was like, yo, keep me updated. Like when you start to write lyrics, because I love where this is going. Mm-hmm. And then one day I saw that it was posted on his story and that it was done. And so I was listening to it, and then I DM'd him and like just replied. I was like, oh, like, you don't have to answer this, but is this about me? And then all he said was yes. And then he unfollowed me immediately after. So
it was probably a little vulnerable for him too.
Yeah, to admit. And so it was, at first I was kind of just like in disbelief. I was like, is this what this feels like? Oh my gosh. Like low key flattered, low key a little like embarrassed by like how I had hurt him, like by my own actions. It caused so much self-reflection. Oh, and now it's on the internet and it lives there.
It would feel so good to just listen to it and be like, it's about me.
Yeah, that it is like a fun little like, oh, like there's a song about me, and if they ever blow up, because I have so much faith in them as a band, like I was there.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
For legal reasons, I'm going to disclose the name of the band and the song, but also for legal reasons, I'm not going to tell you who in the band I was seeing. It's called No One Says by The Vernon Project. It's a small indie band in Virginia where I went to college. So with that, Okay, I'm going to read out the first verse and then we could kind of riff off from there. So verse one goes, I don't know what to make of this little situation we've gotten ourselves into. It started out just like most things, never thinking of what we'll say tomorrow. It looks like we may have gone and bit ourselves off a little more than we can chew.
Oh, yeah.
Reading this out loud, like, really just, it gives me, like, not, like, goosebumps, but I'm just, like, feeling things.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So, basically, this, we had started talking, like, a month after the guy that I was dating in college and I broke up. And we had been together, Devin, since I was 17. Like, I thought I was going to marry this guy. Like, we were together for 4 years. And when we broke up, it set me on a very self-destructive path for a little. And so I got on Tinder. We met on Tinder. And I like straight up told him, like, I'm not looking for anything like emotional, like not in a place to date right now. And the thing is, when it started, he was like, I completely understand. Like, I don't want a relationship. Like I don't want to change you. Like, don't worry. Like, you're not going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, we know how it ended. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always interesting when you set your expectations up front and it, your, either your expectations change or you feel like they act as if they understand those expectations, but they still go the route that they really want to take that route.
100%. I told them straight up, like from the beginning, that I wasn't going to get emotionally attached.
Yes. But feelings will overpower us sometimes. And as much as we can be like, nope, I'm going to go into this relationship with this in mind, and this is the outcome. And what that entire verse for me relates to a previous relationship that I was in. And I had dated this fine gentleman for 7 months. And my intention the entire time was to be casual.
Yeah. And
eventually, you know, that led into a conversation about, you know, we've been dating for 7 months, where is this gonna go? And that led into a relationship. And I assumed, because we had dated for so long and I really care about this person, that it did make sense. But we bit off more than we can chew. He worked long distance he traveled for work. And so we had a long distance relationship, and I didn't realize that being in a more committed relationship versus a casual relationship just completely shifts the dynamic. Mm-hmm. I was like, we bit off far more than we can chew. And this is not something that I can do.
Especially long distance. Like, that's not an easy situation in any case.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And for me, it was like, you know, casually dating someone and being like, yeah, I'm casually seeing this person. They're here when they're here, and that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, oh, I'm in a relationship with this person, and when they're here, you know, when they're here, but they're almost never here. So I'm dating someone I don't really get to date.
100%. Oh my gosh. Same. So I started dating this guy like 2 weeks before I graduated from college. The timing was impeccably poor. I don't know what we were thinking, but I think it was like the same. We're like, we could figure it out. And then like the reality set in of, okay, if you're in Virginia, I'm in New York, and it's like at least $75 to like go see each other each time, and like a 5-hour bus ride. And it just like, I don't think either of us realized how much that would actually like wear down on our like personal morale.
Mm-hmm. So, oh my God.
All foresight now.
Yes. That, and I mean, that relates into this one, I feel.
Yeah. So the chorus goes, we've still got time to get this whole thing laid out and make it right. Who says this has to be any harder than it needs to be? No one says. No one says. Oh man, Devin could see my face. I have so,
Love
I feel literally so much remorse hearing this, like knowing
it. You
how I
wear
hurt
your
this man.
feelings loudly on your face, and
Do
I
I
adore
really?
it.
Okay,
You
well, I've never had anyone say that to me, and I kind of like that.
do.
I really
Yeah,
do.
it's something beautiful.
Thank you, Devin.
You're
Oh my gosh.
so welcome.
Oh, I feel like the whole like who says it needs to be any harder than it has to be. Like, I am the kind of person that will get in my head. Like when like I feel like there's a problem or I feel like I don't know like what's happening or the future, I like to have like control over like what I can control. And I feel like especially in a long distance relationship, like there isn't a lot of control. There are so many outside factors. And I feel like I make it harder for myself asking like I part of why my last relationship ended up in flames was because I'd be like, okay, well, when is this distance gonna end? Who's gonna move? When are we gonna move? Like, what's gonna be happening in our jobs? That I made it so much harder than it had to be. And that was my own fault for sure.
Oh my God, yeah, it can be very difficult because we naturally want to be able to control because we're creatures of comfort. And anytime we're in a position where we can't control what's happening, we feel discomfort and we deflect that immediately. No fucking thank you. And with the lines of we've still got time to figure this whole thing out, and who says this has to be harder than it needs to be? An affirmation for me throughout the process of my long distance relationship was, don't make this harder than it needs to be. And there is no rush to figure things out immediately. And we can take our time and assess what each of us need and how we can make this beneficial for both of us.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I agree. And in terms of like this chorus relating to the musician, the man that I was involved with, I think a part of me was like still so torn up about the relationship that had just ended that like I was so like I like didn't want any like warmth or like I didn't want to have any sort of feelings towards this person. And so I kept fighting it, like actively fighting it. And he would tell me all the time, like, don't be afraid to like hurt me. Like I want to get to know you. I want to like involve myself with you. And I think a part of me was still just like so damaged from that last relationship that I just like I didn't want to make time to fix things. Like I didn't want to like make it easier. And it was a little self-destructive. Oh.
Well, and when you start dating somebody after getting out of something that was really, had a huge impact on your life and hurt you in a big way, you're still hurting. So it makes sense as to why you didn't want to go into something and hurt even more.
Right.
Because I'm
It's
still
just
bleeding from my last relationship.
right. And I, oh, that's like the part that heals me the most is like knowing that like I warned him, like, don't fall for me. That sounds like so cheesy. I like hate saying that, but it was like I told him straight up and then I ended up hurting him anyway, which like really sucks. Oh. Okay. The second verse goes, it's not like anyone is beating down the door, shoving cameras down my face, and asking how you've made up your mind. I'll be damned if I let one chance go and slip away. Today won't be that day. Oh man. Oh gosh. So, Devin, one of my biggest oh, so the like hook of this, I feel like the hook of this whole situation. So the day that it was over. So keep in mind, like to me, like this was just sex. Like our whole, like we had like a casual friendship, I guess. But to like it for me, it was just physical. And we were literally like laying in bed, right? And like we had done the things, and then we were talking, and then it kind of like escalated into him asking like what we were doing and what we were, and me being like, I've told you from the start, like this isn't anything like deeper than like a friendship and like casual sex to me. And he asked me, he like looked me dead in the eye, Devin, laying in bed. He goes, did you ever love me?
Oof.
And I was like, well, it had
Especially
only
when you make that eye contact, it's so vulnerable. It hits you some sort of way.
I literally like was like tearing up and he was like, are you okay? And it just like in that moment I realized like I like there are so many things I could have done to like A, like end it sooner than like knowing that he was developing these feelings, and also just like what do you do when like somebody looks you in the eye and is like, did you love me? And like the answer for me was no, like I didn't love him like that. And it like oh that it shook me to my core.
Oh yeah, and I feel like based off what I've picked up from you, you're an empath, and so it I feel makes it even harder because you like take on the other person's feelings in addition to being like I played and I'm involved in how you're feeling right now. And it hurts my heart to hurt your heart.
100%. Like it, and I didn't, a part of me wanted to like not hurt him, right? To like please him. I have like this innate need to like make people feel better. And so like I wanted to answer the way that I knew would make him feel better, but like I couldn't because that's just like wasn't the truth and it wasn't how I was feeling. And I have like never felt more guilt about something in my life. Like it hurt me to hurt him like that.
Oh my God,
Oh.
of course. Of course. Yeah, it's a tricky situation. And as somebody who's a recovering people pleaser, something I had to realize is people pleasing in a way can be selfish because commonly the reason that we are pleasing in a situation like this and to not say how we truly feel is we are also in a way protecting ourselves from not dealing with the emotional reaction they're going to have.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Whoa. That's like flipping the script so much. I never thought about it like that. Like light bulbs just went off in my head.
It like completely changed the way I viewed people pleasing.
Oh
Like
my gosh.
being selfish, that's me trying to escape this heavy conversation. It's me trying to escape the judgment or the feelings involved.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I mean, like speaking of judgment, you can definitely tell that he picked up on me like not wanting to like get judged for this whole situation when he like mentioned shoving cameras down my face and like asking, because a big part of like this whole thing to me was like, you know, like I had just gotten out of a relationship and I didn't really want people in my business. I had enough people asking me about that breakup. Like I didn't need people knowing who I was sleeping with, who I was talking to. And so I was always very private. And like even in relationships, I've always been very private. I don't post the most photos with like my boyfriend. Like I'm just not that kind of person on social media to
Entirely
be
okay.
very like, la la, I'm dating this person. And so I think for him too, in a way, he might have interpreted it as just like me being ashamed of him. And like that wasn't it. I just like innately am very private about certain things.
And you know, I think with relationships in general, it is so important to really understand how your partner operates. Because he could be somebody who likes to be super public, whereas you like to be super reserved. And it's not because you're not proud to be in that relationship. That's just how you operate. And it's like so imperative to be very radically open about things like that because it can easily be perceived in a different way.
I'm like still healing from that like more recent breakup. I mean, I was the one that like pulled the trigger on it, and again, I feel like a part of why like breaking up with him was so hard was because I didn't want to hurt. I like, wow, breakups are so hard. Like
They are.
oh.
It's never easy being the one to be broken up with or to be the person to break up the relationship. And I personally would much rather be the person to be broken up with.
Me too. I never thought so until I had to be the one to break up with the
It's
person.
so hard. I will drag it on because I'm like, oh, I have to have this difficult conversation, hurt this person's feelings.
That no, same, like same. I feel like a part of why my last relationship kind of like dragged on was A, in long distance, you don't have to like face that person like every day face to face. And so that makes it a little easier to just be like, it's fine, like we're working it out. And then you see them in person, and then there's like way more pressure to like do the deed. And it, oh, heavy. I've learned I can't do long distance anymore. It's over. I've done
Oh yeah,
two,
I
done.
learned that. I learned that long distance is not for me. I applaud those who can do it. But especially
Same.
because my love language is quality time and physical touch. And with long distance, my main needs are not getting met. And that's not my partner's fault necessarily. But it's just not going to work out.
I am in
And
the same boat.
it's empowering to have these realizations and to figure out what you need inside of a relationship, because it sets you up for a more advantageous relationship down the line. Because you know, when you go out and you date these people and you figure out, can this person provide my needs? Yes or no? It just, again, it puts you in a more advantageous position
Totally, totally,
versus
totally.
walking into it blindside of like, well, we'll see if they can, because I don't even know what I need.
100%. The self-awareness is so important there. And then
Yes.
communicating to it is so important. But Devin, I would love if you could like sum up one piece of advice you have for somebody who is feeling hopeless or like heartbroken about the state of their dating life right now.
I find that we celebrate how long we've been in a relationship with somebody, but very rarely do we celebrate being single. Instead, commonly we rush it, and we ask when the expiration date is, and we constantly want to find that person to settle down and create our happily ever after. And in a real way, I don't like that narrative, because it implies that we can't have a happily ever after or feel complete with someone or feel complete without somebody else. And it completely takes us away from feeling whole and complete on our own. And it also takes us away from enjoying the committed relationship that we're already in, and that is the one with ourselves. And I think when you start to view being single as a gift, it makes the experience far more enjoyable. And you do get a sense of freedom when you're single than you do in a relationship. And I feel like in that time you're single is the opportunity for you to really reap the benefits of that freedom that you have.
Oh my gosh, totally. And I feel like something that you like kind of like touched on that made me think of this quote that I saw the other day on Pinterest. It said, "Find your equal, not your whole." So it's
Oh,
like,
I love that.
right? Of like you don't need this person to complete you because like you're whole as you are. You need somebody to just like balance you, to like really
Elevate
like
you.
complement you. Yeah. And I like had never like thought about it because we grow up with things like find your other half or like like this person completes me, but like were you not your own person before you started dating like X? So I like
And when we
love
get
that.
so intertwined with somebody inside of a relationship, I find that it makes a breakup even more difficult, because you feel like you lose yourself and you don't know who you are.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So post college boyfriend, when I was like train wreck Lauren, dark times, I laugh now, but like it really was not pretty, Devin. When I started to like slowly begin like talking to guys, like dating guys, and I'd find myself like, now I know I'm just like expressing my love language. It's physical touch and it's the way I talk to a person, but I had tied it so tightly with me and the guy and like didn't separate it as just being the way that I love, that I would be like, okay, well, it's not working out with this guy because I'm doing the same things I was doing with my ex, but in reality, like they're not connected. That was me. And I'll never forget, it was like 3 in the morning. I like crawled into my college roommate's bed because I was really sad and I was like ranting to her. And she was like, Lauren, like, what if that isn't how you loved X? That's just how you love. Like, that's a you thing. It's not a you and X thing. It's you. And I was like laying in her bed, like, oh my gosh. Like, I so badly needed to hear that.
Yes, I love when friends give us like little dashes of wisdom in our healing and through our breakups, because usually they know exactly what we need to say or what we need to hear.
Yeah, and like just like the patience to love you at some of your lowest lows, because I know it couldn't have been fun to like have me moping around the house and just like have me be like a shell of who I was, but everyone was so patient with me and like understood, but like nudged me in the right path.
It's so wonderful to have those types of friendships.
I
They're so
agree.
important.
What is your pro tip to a happy and healthy relationship?
My pro tip on creating a happy and healthy relationship is communication, but more specifically, learning how to communicate. Because as we know, conflict and hiccups are going to show up in every relationship we have, whether that be strictly sexual, platonic, or romantic. It's how we address what arises that makes the difference. Because we can either communicate in a way that's going to be beneficial and irons out all the wrinkles, or we can communicate in a way that further exacerbate things. Words are very powerful. They can hurt us or they can help us. And one of my favorite books that allowed me to become better at communicating specifically during conflict is Crucial Conversations.
Oh, I'll have to look it
And
up.
yeah, it is really, really helpful. And it's completely changed the way that I communicate inside of all my relationships, with my friends, with my family, with clients, with relationships. And it's just completely changed things for me. And I contribute a lot of that to the previous relationship I was in, which was extremely healthy. It did come to its expiration date. But such a healthy relationship because we were both impeccable communicators and always really took the time to give that person the space to share what they're feeling and then to validate that and to address it in a way that is productive.
Oh, I love that. And I would love to just know, like, what in like any past relationship, I'm like making this question up on the fly because I have so many thoughts in my head right now. But in any past relationship, can you describe to me like what, like how did you know you were happy and that you weren't just settling? Because I feel like that's something, especially like when we're so young and we're dating and like there are these external pressures, like find a boyfriend, settle down. How were you able to like identify that like you were like genuinely like happy and not just like going with it?
I think it's the way that I feel inside of a relationship. If I feel some sort of way where I'm feeling small and inadequate and not inspired, and I leave interactions feeling drained, I don't feel like that relationship no longer serves me.
Totally. Oh my
And
gosh.
for me, what I notice when I'm really happy is when I can be myself and be whoever I show up as, because we can show up as we have all kinds of personalities that we can be. And I want to be comfortable to express all those personalities that is Devin Moretti. And to feel safe and comfortable. And to leave interactions feeling fulfilled and feeling inspired.
Oh, that is so true. I in the episode that's airing right before this, it's all about like balancing your career and your relationships. And the woman I was interviewing, Vanessa, she said she was like, you should never feel pressured to be with somebody that makes you feel like inadequate or like makes you feel small. Like you can love them as much as you love them and they can love you, but if they are making you feel that way, you have no obligation to stay just because like you think it can get better, like you think it will, like you'll be happier. It's so important to like put yourself and like those feelings first too sometimes.
And the biggest thing for me is when I'm addressing a relationship, whether that be casual or more serious, I ask myself, do I feel safe? And do I feel inspired? And another big thing that was super earth-shattering for me is just because you love someone does not mean you should stay with them.
Preach this. Oh my goodness. That I feel like so many people like in our age range are like, you know, like you're dating people and like you don't want to end things because like you care about them, but you're not happy. Like you get so comfortable and you kind of forget what it's like to be inspired by somebody or to like really like feel something strong.
Love is not a reason to stay.
Oh, I love that. We need that on t-shirts. We need that printed. So true. And then
It
kind of the final question before we wrap is, you know, like
Yeah.
after a breakup, whether you are the one that ended it or somebody ended it with you, what do you like to do to kind of just like find yourself again or to like really like help build you back up?
I first think the healthiest thing that we can do for ourselves is feel the pain, because avoiding the pain is going to hurt you 10 times more than feeling it. Because pain is ephemeral, it doesn't last long, it's temporary. And it's really important for us to give ourselves the permission to feel everything we're feeling and to fully process that breakup. And so I like to give myself, a certain amount of time to sulk in it and to be like, this sucks and this is shitty and I'm going to cry every single day and let that be okay, because that is what I need. And then I, from there, obviously you can't stay in it because that's not empowering either, is asking myself, okay, what is it that I need for myself and what are some things that I can focus on? And one of the things that I see when I go through a breakup is oftentimes we just see a bunch of empty spaces because this person's no longer filling them. But instead of seeing it as empty, you could see it as these are empty spaces for me to now fulfill it with things that I maybe did not have the time to do in a relationship. And really just focusing on, like, what do I want to do? What do I want to create? How do I want to spend my time with just me? And I want to come back and date myself.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that. That was so
Yes.
enlightening. You are so inspirational, Devin. Oh my
Oh,
goodness.
thank
Thank
you, Lauren.
you.
Thank you.
There was this video that went viral in like the early 2000s, like when like YouTube was OG, and it was like this girl like pulling up to like drive through at Taco Bell, and then she had like a conversation with the girl taking her order, and they hit it off, and the girl was like, "Do you want to have a sleepover when you get off of work?" And they're like, she was like, "Yeah," and they like exchanged numbers at the end, and I literally just felt like I had one of those moments where I was like, "Oh my gosh, I just want to have like a sleepover with Devin and like be her best friend." Oh my
Oh,
goodness.
I felt that way after our phone call before the
Oh
podcast.
my gosh.
I was just so excited to record this.
I'm so glad that we did this. Thank you are so a like first off, you are like sensational and so humble, like so grounded, such like a kind, like
My heart.
warm spirit. Like truly throughout my podcast journey, I've encountered so many people and you have by far been just like the most real and authentic, and I am like so glad that you said yes and you replied to my email out of the blue.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for like reaching out and for all of the support with Not Your Normal Women and just like the kind, wonderful words. You made my fucking day. Thank you, Lauren.
Love that. I'm here to support women supporting women. We love
Yes,
that. But
that's what we're all about.
tell us where our listeners can find you, Instagram, your website, anything you want to plug.
Yeah, everything is super easy. It's all my name, Devin De Moretti. So my website is devindemoretti.com, and then my Instagram is devindemoretti. I don't know when this is going to air. I'm currently not on Instagram. I decided to give myself
Good for you.
a
Yeah.
weekend detox, which I told you in the email.
Yes.
And then Monday came, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna extend that detox, and it
Good
feels
for
really
you.
great to be off.
Oh my gosh. Everybody, please don't forget to check out Not Your Normal Women, one of my favorite podcasts. Y'all already know. Follow Devin on Instagram. You know what to do, guys. Thank you so much, Devin. I have had a blast talking to you.
Yes, thank you so much for today, Lauren. I really appreciate you having me on and sharing like the beautiful lyrics and sharing your beautiful story.
Thank you for sharing. Oh my gosh. If I have time, if California miraculously opens before I fly back to New York, I like want to go to San Diego and like meet up with
Yeah.
you. Can we be
Yes.
friends?
Yeah,
Oh my
I'm really
gosh,
agree.
we're gonna be
We're
friends.
gonna go to my favorite bar.
Yeah. Alcohol, what a concept.
Right. It's a tiki bar. You'll love it.
Oh my goodness, guys, I still have the biggest smile on my face. Cheek to cheek, I have had the biggest girl crush on Devin for so long. And it was so incredible to have her come on to this podcast, share her insights, her stories. She's so So amazing. Everybody, seriously, look at her site, look at her podcast, look at her Instagram. She and Julia are phenomenal human beings. So give them some love from the Rookie Gang. Also, to anyone who's new, and I mean to anyone who's not new, it's another Wine Wednesday. For the books, I want to reiterate that these Wine Wednesdays are supposed to be the more real, vulnerable, comedic relief for the month, and that you guys are always more than welcome to DM us with content that you want us to talk about. So if you see something crazy trending on Twitter or something viral on TikTok or something is going on in your life that you feel like you want to like hear dialogue about, hit me up. Hit me up on Instagram at Rookies in the Real World. Our website will be up soon. It's going to be amazing. Thank you guys so much for the love and support thus far. I'm so, so excited, as always, to take you guys on this journey with me. So until next week, goodbye for now. If you like this episode, give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcasts app, and also give us 5 stars on Facebook. We have a Facebook page at Rookies in the Real World. I cannot tell you guys how much your support and how far word of mouth goes in the world of podcasts. I am a normal gal, just like you, and so every little bit counts. Thank you guys so, so much again. Y'all rock. See you next time, Rookie Gang.